Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have Bill Federer, who's a great historian, returning to the airwaves. Bill is a best-selling author, best-selling speaker, or popular speaker, and he's even been quoted by the United States Supreme Court. And we're going to talk about the states and how many of the constitutions mention God. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Jerry, great to be with you.
Now, first of all, I understand that at one point, all 50 state constitutions, at one point, the constitutions for all 50 states mention God, correct?
They do, and they'll have...
Do or did.
That the freedom to worship God according to the dictates of their conscience, and that has several assumptions. One, it assumes and acknowledges that God exists. Two, that he's monotheistic, so we're not talking Hinduism or Buddhism. Three, it assumes you're supposed to worship him. Four, you just have the choice as to how you're going to worship him, which excludes Islam, because Islam says you can join Islam, but if you leave, they kill you. You don't have the freedom of choice, right? And so there's assumptions in there, but yes, most state constitutions still acknowledge God, but in the past, at least all 50 of them at one point did. But what I found interesting is the original 13 state constitutions.
Yeah, you even wrote a book about it called The Original 13.
Right, and so I send out a daily email, and I condense topics in there. And so one is I go through the original 13 state constitutions and bring up their references to God. And so just for the sake of the listening audience,
sure.
The U.S. Constitution was written. It had to go to the states to be ratified. The people that were in the state legislatures that ratified the U.S. Constitution had to get elected. And so they had to make these oaths of office in order to be there to ratify the U.S. Constitution. So nine of the original 13 state constitutions required you to be a Protestant Christian to hold state office. And three said all you had to do was be a plain Christian. And one had zero religious requirements. It was Rhode Island, founded by Baptists. They said that if you force someone to be a Christian to hold office, they could say they were just to get elected, and that would be hypocritical. Could you imagine someone saying they're Christian just to get elected? But let me just read a few of these for the sake of evidence. New Jersey ratified the U.S. Constitution, and it had at that time in their state constitution all persons professing a belief in the faith of any Protestant sect who demean themselves peacefully under the government shall be capable of being elected. Georgia was the fourth state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. It stated in its 1777 state constitution, representatives shall be chosen out of the residents in each county, and they shall be of the Protestant religion. And then you have Massachusetts, its constitution written by John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
It was in effect at the time they ratified the U.S. Constitution. It says, any person, before he shall execute the duties of his office, shall subscribe, I declare that I believe in the Christian religion. And the legislature shall authorize the support and maintenance of public Protestant teachers of piety, religion, and morality. John Adams acknowledged that you have a king. He rules through force, through fear, through intimidation, and through rewards. It's a physical type of positive and negative motivation. But he realized that if we're going to have a country without a king, it's going to be dependent on the people having virtue and morality and looking to the next life for their positive and negative. The idea that there is a God watching, he wants you to be fair, he's going to hold you accountable in the future. And so everybody's motivated to follow internal morals with no policemen following themselves around. And so it was John Adams that added the phrase into the Massachusetts Constitution that there shall be public Protestant teachers of piety, religion, and morality. And then you look at South Carolina. It's a state constitution in 1778. Said no person shall be eligible to a seat unless he shall be of the Protestant religion. The Christian Protestant religion shall be deemed the established religion of this state. I've actually talked to attorneys that said if they wanted America to be a Christian nation, why didn't they just establish it in the Constitution? I go, duh, they did. They're state constitutions. Did you read them? The Christian Protestant religion shall be deemed the established religion of this state. That was South Carolina. New Hampshire was the ninth state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. It stated in its 1784 state constitution, no person shall be capable of being elected who is not of a Protestant religion. And then you see North Carolina, and it was the 12th state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. It stated, no person who shall deny the being of God or the truth of the Protestant religion or the divine authority of the Old or New Testament shall be capable of holding office. So you had to be a Protestant. Now, in 1835, there was an Irish potato famine. Millions of Irish Catholics came to America. There was a large backlash, but after a while it settled down. And so in 1835, North Carolina changed its constitution to say no person who shall deny the being of God or the truth of the Christian religion shall hold office in the state. So it switched from Protestant to Christian. And that was in effect up until 1868 when they changed it to say you just had to believe in God. Now, what I thought interesting was three states were really liberal.
Wait, before you go into that, just real fast. Carolina is named after who? North Carolina, South Carolina is named after who?
King Charles of England.
The first or the second? The Charles the first, the guy who got beheaded by Cromwell.
Right, right.
So yeah, North Carolina, here one of our major states, South Carolina, named after Charles the first, who was beheaded by the Puritans. Isn't that interesting? All right, go ahead. You were going to say three liberal states.
Right, so Delaware, it was liberal. It stated in its original 1776 state constitution, every person appointed to office shall subscribe, I profess faith in God the Father, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, in the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore.
That's and liberal? That's Trinitarian, man.
Right. So that meant that you could be any denomination of Protestant and even Catholic and say that.
Wow.
And so that was pretty liberal. Another state that was liberal was Pennsylvania. Ben Franklin signed their constitution. They were the second state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. And it said each member shall that takes a seat shall subscribe, I do believe in one God, creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good, the punisher of the wicked, and I do acknowledge the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. That was really liberal, because you could be any denomination, a Protestant and even Catholic, and even some of these new denominations that were starting, because all you had to do was believe in the divine inspiration of the Old and New Testament. In other words, you not only had to lay your hand on a Bible to swear into office,
you believed
in the Bible,
yeah,
in order to hold office, right? Which is the idea is you call a higher power to hold you accountable to what you're going to say that you're going to do.
And the third state?
Maryland. Maryland was originally founded by Catholics, and then they did the 1649 Tolerant Edict of Toleration, where they let anybody that was a Christian into the state. And so when the Puritans were chased out of Anglican Virginia, they went to Maryland and set up Annapolis, and then they decided they couldn't submit to Catholics. They came out and sacked the capital of St. Mary's and took over the colony. It was a 50-year tug-of-war between them and Lord Baltimore. Finally, the new monarchs of England, William and Mary, recognized the Anglican faith as the official faith. And so the Catholics were considering immigrating to Louisiana, the French Catholic territory, but then the revolution started, and they jumped on board. And then when they set up their first state constitution, they said this: no other test ought to be required on admission to any office than such oath of support and fidelity to the state and a declaration of belief in the Christian religion. Again, that was liberal because you could be any denomination of Protestant, even Catholic.
Okay, so wait, let me just stop you real fast. If I understand you correctly, all 12 of all the 13 colonies had charters and constitutions which said the Christian religion, the triune God, you know, whatever, Jesus Christ, you must be a Christian, you must be a Protestant, blah, blah, blah. And the only exception was Rhode Island, and that's because written by strict Baptists, they felt like they might be using God's name in vain. They felt like they might be, to use a phrase from Thomas Jefferson, you know, much later, they might be begetting habits of hypocrisy.
Right. Well, also, Carolina and Connecticut kept their charters. So Connecticut's colonial charter, the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut.
Oh, that mentions Jesus.
Was Thomas Hooker's sermon. Here's a Reverend Thomas Hooker, the founder of Hartford, Connecticut.
Yes.
He founds the colony. His church members say, well, how do we do the government? He gives a sermon in 1638, and they take his sermon, write it down. And it's called the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. It's their constitution, and they use it up until 1818.
Wow.
And Thomas Hooker's statue is at the Connecticut State Capitol in Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
They acknowledge that this pastor's sermon was their state constitution up until 1818. Now, Rhode Island.
Wait, can I stop you real fast? That Fundamental Orders of Connecticut says, we came here for the purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Okay, next.
Well, in Rhode Island, it was the 13th state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. It retained its 1663 colonial charter up until 1843. They actually boycotted, the Continental Congress and so forth.
They boycotted the Constitutional Convention. So
right,
all 12 out of the 13 states sent representatives for the, 1787, the Constitutional Convention, and Rhode Island didn't. Interesting.
Right. And so in the Rhode Island 1663 colonial constitution, it says this: by the blessing of God, a full liberty of religious concernments, rightly grounded upon gospel principles, will give the best and greatest security in the true Christian faith and worship of God.
Wow.
They may defend themselves in their just rights and liberties against all enemies of the Christian faith.
Wow.
That was in their colonial charter, which they kept as their state constitution up until 1843. So again, all of the original 13 states recognized the Christian faith, and the idea was this. They were afraid the federal government would follow the pattern of every country in Europe and choose one Christian denomination as the national one. And so that's why they had the First Amendment. That's why they had the first 10 amendments, because they were limits on the federal government. The best way to understand it is read the preamble to the Bill of Rights. It says, to prevent an abuse of power by the federal government, certain restrictive clauses shall be placed on it. They wanted to put handcuffs on it. So the reason the federal constitution doesn't say anything about religion is because the states wouldn't let it, because religion was under states' jurisdiction. Sort of like a racetrack with 13 lanes, and the states advanced religious freedom at their own speeds. So today, some states have smoking bans, and others do not. Some states have marijuana, and others do not. Some states have prostitution, like Nevada. Thank God the rest don't. Back then, some states gave a little more religious freedom, and some states had blue laws where everything was closed on Sunday. But it was up to the people in the states to decide.
All right, let me ask you a question. Two law professors wrote a book called The Godless Constitution. And the whole point of the book is that America's founders intended a godless nation, and they gave us a godless constitution. In light of your research, and especially as found in your book, The Original 13, what are your comments on just such a book? And by the way, David Barton, who likes to criticize that book, points out that there's not one footnote, no, not one, in that book.
Well, I like to go to Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story, and he was appointed by James Madison, the guy who introduced the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph Story said the real purpose of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less advance, Mohammedism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity, but to exclude all rivalry among the Christian sects, S-E-C-T-S, mm-hmm. sects, denomination. So that's the purpose of it. The purpose of it was to make sure that one Christian denomination was not preferred over the others. And it was only really after the 1947 Everson versus Board of Education case that Hugo Black, put on the Supreme Court by Franklin Roosevelt, that he took religion out of the state's jurisdiction and began to morph it into what we have today. So in 1957, the Washington Ethical Society wanted tax exemption, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, they can have it because they're religious.
1 minute left. Society.
And then you had a notary named, a guy wanted to be a notary in Maryland, Darcasso, didn't want to say, so help me God, and the state wouldn't let him, but it goes to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court says he can be a notary because secular humanism is his religion. And then in 2005, you had an atheist prisoner wanted, anyway, but atheism was recognized by a religion as a religion. So we see that it began to morph, but it originally started off with the 13
seconds
acknowledging Christian faith.
Yeah, and at one point, all 50 state constitutions mentioned God, usually in the preamble, and most of them still do. If you just look at any state constitution, just look it up. You can go online and look them up, and you see God mentioned, and you know, something like we, the people of Alabama, for example, imploring the help of Almighty God. Bill, thank you so much for being with us. Any closing thought in 10 seconds or less?
My website's AmericanMinute.com, and a book I put together called The Original 13 covers all this. Many of the states actually use the male pronoun, grateful to him for these blessings. And so, again, it's referencing the God of the Bible.
Exactly. Bill Federer, always a pleasure. AmericanMinute.com. God bless you now.